Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our mission is to help you evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. Here is your host, investor, entrepreneur, and an influencer, Dr. Meetu Bhatnagar, CCIM.
Hello, Wealth Nation. You are listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our club shares the success stories, explore various loopholes, secrets, and skills that help you evolve from rich to wealthy. You might be wondering, why rich is not wealthy? That's because that fat income or paycheck is gone in paying mortgage of luxury homes, luxury cars, high taxes, and paying credit card bills to maintain the affluent lifestyle. You are working so hard for money and hardly have freedom to do what you enjoy the most. For example, spending time with your loved ones, going on vacation, or anything else that you cherish. After all, being rich is not about monetary wealth. It's about being truly satisfied, being truly happy, and having a balanced professional, personal, and social life. Being contented with what you have and not worrying about work, future, or how to earn more to save more for retirement. Our podcast mission is to create a spark, help you evolve from rich to wealthy, and inspire you to live a life filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. Wealth Nation, please make sure to like our page, Wealth Evolution Club, and join our free Facebook community, Wealth Evolution Club. Let me ask you this. Are you interested in exploring how to keep more money to yourself and pay less in taxes? Do you know about tax loopholes that rich are taking benefit of? Of course, there is a reason that government give tax incentives to these people and they are not doing anything unethical. Now you will know why some rich people pay zero or so little in taxes, and you will wonder why your CPA never discussed about this powerful tool after listening to this episode. In today's episode, we will explore cost segregation and how you can utilize this powerful tool to save millions of dollars in taxes. Guess who is our guest today? Let me give you some hint. He is a blockchain enthusiast. He is one of the best and most resourceful guy when it comes to cost segregation. He is none other than Yona Weiss. Yona is a powerhouse with property owner's tax savings as business director and Madison Specs, a national cost segregation leader. He has assisted clients in saving tens of millions of dollars on taxes through cost segregation. He has a background in teaching and a passion for real estate and helping others. He is a real estate investor and host of the new podcast, Weiss Advice. Hi, Yona. Welcome to our Wealth Nation, Wealth Evolution Club podcast. We are so honored to have you here.
It's a pleasure to join you. Really happy to do this. So thank you for inviting me.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank God. Every day, a beautiful day, starting off the new year on the right foot.
So Yona, what is cost segregation? Will you please share this with our listener?
I think I could do that. It's really something that is not as complicated as it sounds. Cost segregation is a fancy way of saying a very advanced form of depreciation. And depreciation is a tax deduction that you get on your commercial or investment property. And basically, when you buy a property, the government incentivizes you by giving you a tax deduction based on the principle that things go down in value as time goes on. That's called depreciation, right? But your building's probably actually going up in value as time is going on. So it's not really depreciating. Nevertheless, they give you this tax deduction that says you can write off the entire value of your property over this long period of time, 27 or 39 years. That's called depreciation. Cost segregation is really just segregating that cost. All right, breaking down that cost into different buckets, to different categories that depreciate at faster rates. And it's a very detailed engineering process that allows us to identify things in the building that actually depreciate faster than you would have been depreciating it, meaning taking those tax deductions at that very long period of time.
Awesome. Sounds great. I think a lot of people who may have owned real estate for years and they don't even know this is something they would do. Okay, now coming to the next question, when is the best time to do this cost segregation study?
It's relative. Usually most people get it done in the first year. They're trying to get it done as soon as possible because they want to set up the property tax deductions from the beginning in the right way. However, it does not need to be done in the first year. And in fact, certain times it may be more beneficial to wait. For example, if you don't have enough income coming in, that you don't need those extra tax deductions, it may not make sense to get it right away. Also, some people may just want to wait to even out the playing field a little more. And maybe they didn't even know about cost segregation. Another great example, people didn't know about it. And here you are years later, you can go back retroactively, do a cost segregation study, meaning get those tax deductions that you missed, that accelerated depreciation that you missed over the past several years, and you can get that this year.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. So what kind of properties qualify for this cost segregation? Suppose I have a portfolio of 15 single family homes. Does it qualify? Or do I have a quadplex or a 100 unit apartment complex? Does that qualify for it?
Yeah, really any type of residential or commercial property, it doesn't really matter what type of property it is, can qualify. Because the qualifying is really just using the depreciation, utilizing that, and front-loading or accelerating certain portions of that depreciation. So really any type of property besides for your personal residence. That's the only thing. Your personal residence, you don't get the tax deductions, the depreciation for that. But okay, qualifying is one thing, meaning getting that depreciation is one thing. The real question is, can you use it, right? Are you going to be able to benefit from it? And how much of it can you actually use? So we talked about accelerating depreciation, allocating certain portions of the property to these faster schedules. Typically, we're talking about between 10 and 30% of your actual purchase price will go into that faster depreciation that you could take in the first 5 years or first year even. So you're talking about which types of properties will qualify. Well, it's going to depend a lot on what's your purchase price and how much of that percentage is it going to be worth it, right?
Absolutely. Makes sense. So what do you think, like what's the ballpark number that we should keep in mind? Like 1 million or something like that?
My rule of thumb is usually any property purchased for over $500,000, even that small, is really worthwhile to look into. And we provide, and most cost segregation companies will provide an upfront free analysis. Oh, wow. Just to see if it makes sense. It'll be kind of a feasibility analysis of sorts where we'll take the data from the property without actually visiting it, without doing the full engineering study, but just based on our data and the data of the property to know what you can expect if you do a full. So is it worth it? Is it worth spending a few thousand dollars to get this full study done? What's my outcome going to be? So on a 10%, even the bare minimum of a $500,000 property, you're talking about an extra $50,000 of accelerated depreciation. That's not nothing, not necessarily something to go all in on, but it's definitely worthwhile to look into.
Absolutely. Fair enough. What do you think about construction projects? Suppose I am building a hotel. Do you think it's worth going for? And what is the process there for new buildup? Is it like something different? And what is the best approach?
It's very similar. In fact, you're able to get just like you would on what we do with the engineering process is really on an acquisition. We're reverse engineering the property. And we're saying, okay, you're buying this whole building based on this purchase price. We now have to see and come in and identify all the little details and see, well, how much is this worth relatively to the whole property? Whereas when you're doing a new construction, you have all of the details, you have all of the invoices, you know how much was spent. And that process is a little easier because the engineers can actually allocate all those individual items into those faster depreciation schedules. So it can be done on a new construction, no problem.
Okay. What do you think? How much does it cost? Any ballpark number do you have? Because it sounds like it's quite complicated. And with that engineering studies involved, it could be quite expensive. Will you please share your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it is, can be a little bit expensive, but there's a lot of misinformation going on out there. I've seen people write articles and say, well, it don't only make sense for huge commercial buildings. It costs like $50,000 to get this done. It's not. Typically, and I'm just talking about our data right now, today, 2021, okay? somewhere for multifamily properties or commercial properties, typically we're ranging between $4,000 to $6,000, a one-time flat fee for that type of property. Smaller single families, we actually have a flat rate we're doing now for $1,000 a piece, which means it can be done. There's a lot less work to be done, especially when we're talking about a portfolio, large number of single families, it makes a lot more sense. Whereas large commercial buildings, let's say a 300,000 square foot office tower, maybe a little more expensive. Okay, that's where you're going to get into these because the scope of work involved is going to be so much more than a multifamily property. For example, the price is not based whatsoever on the contingents of the tax savings. Okay.
Okay.
Because that would be virtually, you're telling the IRS, I think you should get this much tax savings and I'm going to take a cut out of it. That doesn't make any sense, right? That seems like funny business. So it's based, you know, it's a kind of flat fee based on the scope of work. It doesn't matter if the building was purchased for $1 million, $10 million, or $50 million, the fee is probably going to be pretty much the same.
Okay. Sounds good. So how much should I expect? Suppose I'm doing an acquisition of a $40 million portfolio. So what should the amount that I will save if I go for this cost segregation study?
You said 40?
Yes,
$40 million?
$40 million.
Yeah, like I said, typically we're looking between 10 to 30%. And multifamily properties is usually closer to 25% is pretty much the average for the reallocation. So the first thing we need to do is we need to separate a certain amount for land because land does not depreciate.
Absolutely.
And then so from that $40 million, you may still have, let's say take off 20% for land, you're still left with, right, a large portion. You're still left with 36 million, something like that, a large amount that you can now depreciate. You take 20% of that, 25% of that. I mean, you're looking at easily, I don't know, something just to do the math in my head over here, but probably something close to $8 to $9 million of accelerated depreciation on a project that size.
Okay. So if I raise like $10 million as an equity, so I will be able to get at least 80 to 90% tax benefits.
Yeah. And that's really interesting because when you're doing the equity, it's really important to remember that the depreciation on a property is based on your purchase price. It's not Absolutely. Based on how much money was put in. Okay. It's based on the purchase price. Now, if you have a large percentage of non-recourse debt, you leverage on that property, you're getting the benefit of that debt on the depreciation because you're buying a building for $40 million and only $10 million is being put in. That means you're getting $40 million of depreciation. And so your equity in that property increases the amount of depreciation you have. Whereas if you went all cash, all in, $40 million of cash, then your depreciation will also be based on that. The percentage of money would be less, according to the equity sponsors.
You're listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Stay tuned to evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. You're highly educated, work long hours, earn exceptionally good money, yet you have no freedom, fun, or fulfillment. Most of your paycheck is going to high taxes, big mortgages, and big credit card payments to maintain an affluent lifestyle. But what happens if you're unable to work due to an injury? Will you be able to keep up with the payments? And will you ever be able to comfortably retire? We want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.
Can cost segregation be used to offset active income from other businesses? Or is it used to offset the rental income only?
That's a really great question. This is probably the hottest topic when it comes to cost segregation. And I alluded to before, it's not about how much depreciation you can get. It's more about how much you can use. And so this is the most common question I get. There's something called a real estate professional status. And this is a really important status because this is really going to determine how much of the depreciation you can use. Typically speaking, rental property income is considered passive income. Okay, it goes in your Schedule E. It's taxed differently than active business income. Depreciation is a passive deduction. This is allowed to offset your passive income. So first and foremost, depreciation goes to offset your rental property income. You may have 10 properties and that depreciation from one can be used across the board on all your rental properties or other passive business investments. However, active income is treated differently and depreciation is not allowed, right? You have limitations to how much of that depreciation you can use, if any, unless you have this magical card, right, that says you are a real estate professional status, which means you spend the majority of your time in the real estate trade or business. Once you have that, you no longer have that passive loss limitation, which means you can use any extra depreciation beyond your rental property income to offset your active income from any other source, you or your spouse.
And what happens if I am not able to utilize all that negative K-1 or, you know, loss in this year? Can I take it further into the forthcoming years?
Correct. Yes, it carries forward. So any extra depreciation you don't use, that passive loss carries forward, you can use in the future years.
Okay. Suppose I bought a building in the past. Can I still do cost segregation on that?
Yes, absolutely. And so this is really something that can be done without even having to amend your tax returns. You're able to do what's called catch-up depreciation by changing the accounting method, saying, I'm now going forward, breaking out the depreciation to different lives, different categories. You can do that going forward and you can catch up whatever depreciation you missed from previous years and take it this year.
Okay. So one of our listeners was wondering, like, isn't that our CPA is already doing cost segregation for us?
Likely not. Yeah, absolutely. Usually not. So cost segregation is because it requires the engineering component to it. It's really impossible for an accountant to properly do this. The IRS has an entire guideline called the Cost Segregation Audit Techniques Guide. And in that, there's a whole list of components that need to go into a proper cost segregation study. Anyone can say, make up and say, well, I think this amount of depreciation should be taken. But if it doesn't have the proper data or proper, you know, analysis to back that up and to show where this is coming from,
absolutely,
where you're getting those numbers from, then you're going to be stuck when it comes to, you know, God forbid, ever in the event of an audit. So accountants cannot do this on their own. They need to use an engineering component. Some of the largest accounting firms in the country have engineers in-house. So in that case, it's not to say that accountants can't do it per se, but they need to have that. So if they are doing it in-house, there are definitely a handful of accounting firms in the country that do this in-house, but it's because they have those engineers in-house.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds fair. So while vetting a cost segregation study guy, what is the questions I should ask them to qualify them?
Oh, well, the cost segregation guy, he definitely should have a big beard. I mean, that's the first checklist, right? You want to make sure. Yeah, you know, you want to make sure that you're going to get the highest quality. And quality comes from basically two or three things. Number one is that they have experience. Okay, they've been doing this for years. They have experience in auditing. Have their studies ever been tested by an IRS audit? That's something that you want to make sure you have to support. So in their language of the engagement, it should say something to the sort of, we have this audit protection. We stand behind reports we have, et cetera, at no extra charge. So that's something you should make sure the experience is paramount, because without the engineering component and the accounting component, that dual in-house component, you're basically tossing it up and saying, well, it's either going to be focused on one or the other, and you can't have the best of both worlds. The third and final thing that I think is most important to look into is to see what do other people think about this. There are plenty of people out there to compare this to. How does this hold up? How is everyone's experience in terms of the actual operations, in terms of the actual turnaround time, cost, et cetera? These are important things, you know, when you're vetting any type of vendor.
Absolutely. Sounds fair. Okay. When I sell my property, does it have any impact?
Yes. When you sell a property, you have a very big impact. First of all, you have a couple of different things that happen when you sell a property. Number one, you have a tax that's called capital gains tax. Capital gains tax, you're taxed on the amount of gain. If you made a profit on the sale, and everyone's heard of this, right? You made a profit, you have to pay a certain tax on that. You have something else called depreciation recapture tax. This is usually also called, right, unrecaptured gain. And so there's basically the amount of depreciation that you've taken over the course of ownership, you now have to pay a tax on that amount, or you're subject to that tax at the time of sale. So it's definitely important to note and to be aware of that if you're selling a property within the first 5 years of ownership, you're going to probably have a higher subject of that tax if you did a cost segregation study than if you didn't. However, as obviously is most important to understand, the benefits of the cost segregation in being the time value of money, usually not paying that tax in those earlier years is worth a lot more than having to face that tax on the sale. And when I say face the tax on the sale, I want to make that clear. It's not like you are bound in chains. Everyone knows, and we're talking about this subject, and you for sure know this, that understanding the tax code and understanding these tax benefits and many others like it is really the way to continue building that wealth. So just like there's consolidation that you can do on the acquisition of a property, there are other tax strategies that you can make sure to employ on the sale of a property so as not to be hit with a large tax bill.
Got it. Sounds great. Yeah. So do you think like doing this cost segregation study can put me at a risk, or someone who is doing at a risk of an IRS audit?
This does not put you at a risk of an audit in any way, shape, or form, because this is not something that is foreign to the IRS. This is something that not only is it directly was created by and governed by the IRS, but it's actually the proper way to depreciate your property. Literally, you're supposed to do it this way. The only reason that they don't enforce it and make you do it this way is, well, first of all, because it's going to cost you extra cash out of pocket to get something like this done because it involves a third party in order to do that. So they can't force you to do that. However, they also know, and I'm paraphrasing from one of my favorite books, The Tax-Free Wealth from Tom Wheelwright. He says there that the reason why the government doesn't enforce this is because they know that the laziness of the taxpayer and or their accountants will just create more revenue for the U.S. Treasury. So they're not going to tell you to take more deductions, right? No one's holding your hand and saying, oh, you should take this deduction and that deduction and everything else, even though they know you can do that. So yes, it does not put you at a risk. In fact, doing it this way is actually the proper way.
Absolutely. Fair enough. Now, coming out to our last question, Yona, there are so many companies out there. What makes you different that you are so successful? Could you share, please, this with our listener?
Absolutely. I mean, Madison Specs, and again, you think of me, right? I'm out there, the CostSeg King, and I'm very active on social media. I've been on a lot of podcasts. I think what differentiates us as a company in general, we've been around for 16 years, had a tremendous amount of experience in the industry, and at this point are the largest national company working in all 50 states. You know, there's a certain name recognition when it comes to consolidation. But besides that, since the owners of the company are real estate investors themselves, created the company as a real estate servicing company, not a tax company. Okay, a lot of other providers out there might be tax companies, might be accounting firms, or kind of tax strategists. We take an opposite angle. We're real estate investors. We own a property management company, a title agency, right? Madison Title, we 1031 advisory, all these other ancillary services for the commercial real estate investor. We understand what you're going through. We understand the shoes, what's going on in your business. So I think that's one thing that differentiates us more than others. The main thing for me personally is I have that presence. And so I have that incredible relationships with so many people in the industry. And when you're doing business with someone, you want to do business with someone that you know and that you like and that you trust, right? So having that familiarity definitely goes a long way.
Absolutely. I agree. So thank you, Yona. Thank you so much for coming in today and then sharing all these valuable thoughts and information with our listeners. If our listeners wanted to reach out to you, how can they reach?
Best way to find me is on LinkedIn. You know that. Okay. Very active there. You can also go to yonaweiss.com. That's my personal website. I'll tell you all of everything I'm doing, including the Weiss Advice podcast, as well as the Madison Specs, madisonspecs.com website. And those are probably the best places to find me.
Awesome. Sounds great. Now we sign off. Until next time, Wealth Nation, live a life that is filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. And I'll see you next in 2 weeks. Thank you.
This has been the Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. If you're a doctor, medical professional, engineer, CEO, or other elite professional, we want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.